seriousnesses. What is wrong with men today? Well, it's not so much today. We know men have been jacked up for quite some time. It's just really coming to the forefront of men's attention. So, hi guys. I'm not going to say today's episode is for all y'all, meaning men. It is. But it's also really for all y'all, meaning all y'all. I have the luxury and joy of having Miss Lori Stein with us today. Ms. Lori Stein, who is the author and creator of the Charm School for Men that you can purchase both on audio format and PDF format and in print format at www.idowhatiwant.org. That's www.idowhatiwant.org. Tell me you already love her just based upon her blog website alone, her URL. So she's going to help us out today, and we're going to have a conversation, and a lot of it is just a bunch of fun, but I encourage you to take it pretty seriously. There is good advice here on just some commonsensical things. You know, I talk to guys all the time, and they're always, I'm the gay brother, so, I'll get a lot of guys that will complain to me about their dating lives or talk about how women are thus and so, and they're usually terrible conversations, and I'm not much help. But Lori Stein is. And she's also a lot of fun to talk to. And so I encourage you to have a good time as you're listening today, but also maybe take some notes, huh, guys? And find yourself a goyal, if that is indeed what is you're looking for. There are so many wonderful quality women out there that are asking me the same questions, but they can't sort through the good men because some of you keep coming off like creeps. So enjoy today's episode. I already have. And then when you're done, whether you like it or not, if you have advice, you can write to us at welcometotheheartburn@gmail.com or always my favorite, dearuncledoug@gmail.com, where I'm happy to answer your questions. You can leave a voicemail at www.theheartburn.net. That's theheartburn.net, where you can leave a voicemail about today's program. If you object to some of the advice or something that I've said, if you've got a correction for it, I'd love to hear from you, and we can feature it on a follow-up episode. And keep sending us emails. The other thing that I really, really need you to do, we are coming up at the end of sort of the front window where I need you to subscribe, and I need you to share, and I need you to review. I'm having a great time having these conversations, and that is such a simple thing to do. Subscribing is seriously clicking one button. Reviewing, seriously, it's clicking one button. But if all y'all, men and women, don't click those clicks, then we are all washed up. So, and our heartburn goes away. So please subscribe, click, click, and you can review, click, click. And if you're super duper nice, then you can share as well. You know how much effort that takes? Click, click. I love y'all. That's why we're here. Enjoy my conversation with Lori Stein and her Charm School for Men. This is Doug Harrison, and you're listening to The Heartburn. Let's talk about your book.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for being here, Lori. I appreciate it. And I'll do a separate little introduction stuff, but thank you so much for being here. Oh, do you need to grab something?
Yeah, I'm going to grab my book.
Don't worry about the microphone running or not. If you need to do something, it's not going to show it.
Mercury,
no, I swear, I promise. I've read your book. I promise, Lori. What's it? There we go. So,
alrighty.
And I adore some things. And what I don't want to do, because I want people to buy your book. I really, really, really do. Because it's absolutely, I say it's common sense and adorable, and that seems condescending, but I'll tell you, I learned the whole way through, and I'm not looking at dating. Like, I went, oh my gosh, this makes so much sense. Why don't people do this? So, but I don't want to go just through your book step by step. Start by telling me, why'd you write this? What's the context? We love context here.
Context.
Context. Oh, context.
we've gone into the content a bit. But one of the stories I love is you talking online with folks. And there was the Russian in particular that I thought was so enlightening. Because it was a surprise to you, like some of their responses.
Right. So this was after, you know, I'd had these in-person conversations with these men. And they really showed me, you know, another aspect of the story that was going on. And so, you know, as I mentioned in the book, I had a very stressful job. And in order to take my mind away, I would look at the Craigslist men seeking women ads. And these ads were just awful. It's like, you know, listen, I know we have the inside of the brain, the inside of the head voice, and that is not the voice we want coming out of the mouth. And so I tell people.
It sounded good in my head. I've said it too many
times. Right.
It
sounds great in a vacuum. It sounds great to your bathroom mirror. But when you're actually putting it to another person, maybe not. So like I always say, brain to mouth filter activate. It really does work.
And brain to mouth filter activate. Got it.
Yeah, tested and true. So anyway, don't ask me how I know, but so yeah, this one Men Seeking Women ad was from a Russian guy, and he was basically like, yeah, I'm desperate to get married, and these are the things I want, and they were just way inappropriate. And, you know, at the time, like I said, I was like looking at their ads and I was rewriting them, just adjusting them a little bit, just making it sound a little nicer. And I was like, hey, buddy, you know, like you want a green card marriage? That's okay. Sure. Fine. A lot of people are doing that. I get it, you know, and you need to put it out there a little bit more like, hey, I have an arrangement, you know, I need citizenship in this country in exchange for, you know, citizenship in my country. You know, this is what I can offer you, and this is what I would expect in return. And, you know, that doesn't really sound as crazy as you were putting it out there.
Is it good advice just for every guy in general to either let a female friend write it or at least edit a profile before they put it out there?
Well, you say female friend, but it should be a sensible female friend.
Yeah.
You know, not everybody is able to look at things objectively and come about with a solution that's really going to work. So if there is a female friend that you notice has these skills, then absolutely. You know, maybe somebody a good 10 years older than you could be helpful. But
or maybe when you're, I'm just sitting here thinking, and I hate to say this where my friends can hear me, but a gay friend would be super helpful too. Like just someone who does not have the same sort of agenda or the same sort of interest in you to just get a different angle on it.
Yeah, gay men are really good at seeing women as people.
And that's, this is not an offer to my friends to write your online profiles. Yeah.
Hey, maybe you need a little side work, huh?
Yeah, well, I should
What's
say not
worth
for free.
To you?
Exactly. I should say it is an offer, but not for free.
So the response to the men were so unexpected to me,
right,
that when I was like, hey man, women don't like that, they were like, instead of like, bitch, or who do you think you are, which is, you know, a lot of times what we hear when we say no, these guys were like, oh man, you know, I know you're right. And oh yeah, I get along with my female friends so much better than women I'm trying to date. And you know, these conversations evolved from me saying, like, from me giving this response that they just were not expecting. And I was just flabbergasted. And it happened enough times that I was like, holy smokes, I have to write a book. I have to do it.
Right.
And one thing I say to guys is like, you know, you got to understand, you might not be horrible to women. Your friends might not be horrible to women, but the guys who are, and there's tons of them, there's an ocean of them, and they're ruining it for you. I said, you go and you say hi to a woman, you have no idea what just happened 5 minutes before you got there. You have no idea how many men have harassed her, how many men have threatened her. You have no idea how many times she has experienced violence from men. You know, you don't think of that because you're not the guy who does it. So when a strange man comes up to me, I'm not going to be all, hey, hi, how you doing? Woo, somebody's talking to me, yay. And not just that, but like, hi, how you doing? Maybe very innocuous, but with guys who are aggressive, who do have a predatorial nature or are maybe just clueless, behavior escalates. So, you know, hi, how you doing is fine, but what's going to happen after that? What's going to happen after that? You know, like that is kind of the root of the problem.
And so guys can come up and be very well intentioned, but if they signal something wrong, that it can set that relationship off just in a moribund. It's useless at that point because they're signaling to be something creepy that they're not, with maybe not even knowing it. And this is what I love about your book is you actually tell people, here are some things, and I love lists. My friend Melissa Tucker is going to love this too. We love lists, and you just make some lists. So what are the, and again, I don't want to like steal the whole book, no spoilers, but tell us just a couple things. What are a couple typical things that guys cannot do? What are the things, mistakes they make right off the bat?
The seven deadly saboteurs. Well, you know, a lot of them speak for themselves. There's the scary man. There's the overly aggressive guy. When the woman is ignoring him, he tries even harder. In my book, I say, you know what? Men are not subtle. You guys are as subtle as a heart attack. We know when you're interested. We know what your intentions are. You know, you have a big neon sign over your head that reads it. And
Scary guy.
Yeah, you know, it's like, be subtle. A gentleman is subtle. We have the jaded cynic. You know, the guy who's just cranky puss. Or we have the ex-girlfriend worshiper.
Yeah.
You know?
So those are some basic things. If people, like if people come up hulking or look mean in the slightest way, it's not going to go well. Or at least not get the results you want. That might be a great way of saying
right,
things.
Right, or you know, you talk about your ex-girlfriend, it signals that you're unavailable. Another thing, the gawker. You're gawking at the woman, you're gawking at other women. You know, a lot of guys do some gawking and they don't even realize it. Another game changer, and I can't remember... I'm sure I put this in the book, but I didn't necessarily put it as a saboteur, is the man who does not understand personal space.
Yes.
A lot of guys don't get that. Do not stand too close. That is very threatening. And the touching. I always tell guys, do not touch. Do not.
And this is a big deal because this... there's a couple reasons I'm not a fan at all of the pickup artist movement. You probably felt that even though this is a podcast, I think people felt you roll your eyes. That's how good of an eye roll that was. The pickup artist movement is horrible for a lot of reasons. At the end of the day, because it's using basic human skills to try and control an environment without real consent.
You know what?
So
yeah, they
it's
make
crap.
It's based on making women feel insecure and intimidated.
And touch
and
is
pressured.
Part of their technique. And so a lot of guys have picked up, oh, I need to make contact. I need to touch your elbow. I need to touch your arm.
Mm-mm.
And in fact, you're saying, hold off.
Do not. Now, a woman, and you know what? Be observant. You know, take what you want, take your end game, and put it to the side and be an observer. If she is looking you in the eye, if she is laughing at all your jokes, if she is leaning in towards you, that means she's interested. I would say still don't touch. You know, within the Burning Man community, men are a lot more, you know, respectful. And, you know, you go to Burning Man and it's hot and people are have all these different kinds of costumes that are skimpy. And the guys are just like, they're not triggered. Like, you know, many right. Camp Real World. And women feel so comfortable. Women feel like they can come to them. And when a woman is interested, she will touch your arm or your knee or whatever. And once that happens, okay, then it's okay to touch. I'm not saying that you should not express interest or that you should be completely passive. That's the opposite end of the spectrum of what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say be very present, pick up the signs, take your agenda and put it to the side so that you can see what is really going on. And that is also going to help you have a better match.
Because it's not about being passive or active, but interactive, where you're really having genuine exchanges and not just trying to deliver a package metaphor intended
as well.
Or
get your way.
Right.
You know, it's not about getting your way. It is about a symbiotic relationship. It is about chemistry and alchemy.
Online dating feels a little different than some of the stuff. Well, let me say this. Your book is not a book about online dating. And there are tons of books about online dating. Because mostly I get the sense that if you start online, you still go on a date.
True.
That's
where
it ends up.
Online dating, I mean, like, you know, I guess I get into a little bit of that with rewriting the men's Craigslist ads. And I think with online dating, if you're angry, if you're frustrated, leave it off. I do talk about that a little bit in the book. Talk about what you do want. Don't talk about what you don't want. You know, talk about yourself. What are your interests? What do you like to do? Do you like to, you know, do sports, eat adventurous food, see movies, say, this is what I like to do. And I'm looking for somebody to join me in these activities. But I see so many, you know, men expressing their frustrations in their dating profiles saying, why do you have to like me? Why do you have to hit the like and not message me? And I'm like, buddy, nobody's under any obligation to send you a message. It's nice to know. I have this box. I call it the good to know box. If somebody likes you, you put that in the good to know box. Yay, somebody thought you were cute. They don't have to send you a message. I understand it's frustrating. You want to go on a date, but, you know, maybe they're thinking about whether you're really a match. Maybe they're thinking about whether they have time to date.
And didn't you suggest, or this might be something I made up in my mind when reading your wonderful book, asking your friends what's good about you?
Yeah, I can't remember, but...
But make a list nonetheless. Know what's good about yourself.
It's true. What are you bringing to the table? What do you have to offer? What is the person you're going to date? What are they going to value about you? You know, a lot of guys, they see their profiles and they just talk about what they want. And it's like, all right, well, that's nice. But I think it's better to talk about, like, what is special and exciting about you and say, you know, I want somebody who'd be a good fit for this. I want somebody who's going to appreciate this. Instead of making it more transactional. Because I feel like the consumerism of our culture has really invaded our dating world and personal relationships. And it makes me sad.
Man alive, it is hard to know what to do when you're trying to figure out how to have a dating life. And the only way you're really going to be able to figure that all out is if you subscribe and review this podcast. Otherwise, we won't continue to exist. And it's super helpful and super easy if you do it. But we'll be right back in just a minute and have more advice from Lori Stein. This is The Heartburn. I have good news, everybody. I'm actually going to be giving away a t-shirt, a tote bag, a mug, actually an item of your choice, anywhere from the Heartburn Podcast Collection or from Doug Thy Neighbor, the store on Etsy, where you can go to just at etsy.com/shop/Doug Thy Neighbor. All you have to review, any review that you give, just put in a little bit of information, click a star, and I'm going to be choosing one randomly selected, not based on your review, randomly selected review each week through August and into September, and you'll receive one item, again, either from the Heartburn Podcast Collection or from the Doug Thy Neighbor store. So don't forget to review. That's all you got to do. And then I will click on it and be in touch with you, and we will send those off to the winners, but you have to review to do it. It's probably more complicated
than that. I think right now, almost everybody is drunk. People are really exhibiting many of the signs of addiction. And I believe that has come from social media and staring at the screen for, you know, the majority of our waking hours. It puts you in a hypnotic state, and messages get through to the id when you are in that hypnotic state. Somebody said, like, something about the algorithm of your brain in a hypnotic state and how it really does that when you stare at the screen, because the screen sets off the radio frequency of that. I wish I could say more articulately, but people can't make plans, can't hold conversations. Their empathy has vanished. Their selfishness, their need for instant gratification. They're pompous in their dysfunction. They look down on others who do not share the dysfunction. I've been seeing it all, and I'm just like,
yeah.
You know, people are really stuck in the lizard brain, the lower chakras of, like, sex and anger and
hunger. Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and
yeah, so and part of the impact of that is, one, that it's just transactional. I meet, we come to an agreement, and we go from there. How else does that consumerism impact the dating life, do you think?
Well, you know, like, I've heard so many guys say, I'd bang that. And it's like, you know what, buddy? You can't just put that in your cart and check out with it, you know? Mm. If that doesn't like you, you're not doing nothing.
But know what you want.
Right. And I, that is a big part of my book, is knowing what you want. One of the kind of saboteurs is Mr. Nice Guy. And the thing about Mr. Nice Guy is he thinks he's being accommodating. He thinks he's doing whatever he can to get what he wants. And it's not good. Because, you know, when the woman says, hey, what do you want to do? She's really wondering what you're in the mood for. And when Mr. Nice Guy says anything you want to do, oh, whatever you want to do, that's not an honest answer. That's not bringing integrity. Being a doormat is not bringing integrity into the relationship. It's not letting somebody know who you are and what your needs are and what's going on with you. Yeah. It's presenting a false facade, and that is going to breed resentment. And I feel like that's where Mr. Nice Guy gets angry. You know, when you're truly authentic and kind, not just women, but people love that. You know, if I say to you, hey, let's go out for pizza, and you're like, eh, I don't really like pizza, or I had pizza for lunch, I'm like, hey, thanks for letting me know. Why don't we go have Ethiopian food, you know, instead of showing up and having pizza with me and not being so happy about it? Because I'm going to say to myself, huh, I wonder what's going on. Like, people are going to notice when you haven't been authentic about expressing your needs or your opinions or...
Yeah, that as you're talking, that feels, again, there's something commonsensical about it, but I just have a light going off in my head of, like, I think of all my friends living in a dorm. We had we did not have co-ed dorms where I went to college. So living in a dorm, watching men's lives veer towards going on the prowl. Even, good, these adorable little sweet men, not meaning ill, but they begin to go on an adventure as if to kill something and bring it home. And so they start to lose some of their male relationships because of how they focus on that. But I'm hearing you, kind of what you're saying is, be a magnetic person. Just be the kind of person that attracts people, and you'll probably have better relationships, period. And that's going to carry over into your dating life, too. Be interesting. Be charming. Be the things that everybody likes to have around them.
That's true. You know, I mean, other people like that. You're going to like that, too. You know, be the kind of person you want to hang out with. You know, be the kind of person who has something to offer.
Yeah, and that also having, there's kind of a, in that pursuit, there's this thing, oh no, and this is a cultural thing for sure. Oh no, she's going to put me in the friend zone. But you have a few things to say about that.
I have so many things to say about the friend zone. The friend zone, okay, now it's unfortunate that people look at the friend zone in a negative way, because if you were friend zoned, it means you're not going to be a match. If you move forward with that relationship, you will be disappointed. You know, you're going to get the sex, you're going to do the thing, you're going to go on the dates, and at the end, you're going to be complaining, because it's like buying a beautiful pair of shoes that just hurt your feet. So the friend zone, so talking about, you know, pointing the canoe downstream instead of paddling upstream, your girlfriends will pimp you out, because if they friend zone you, it means they like you. They see why you're desirable. They want to keep you around because you're a good one. And like I say in my book, your girlfriends will pimp you out.
And when you go out in public and you're having a really nice time with a lady, you get the lady's seal of approval. Other girls are going to see you and be like, oh, look at that. Oh, he knows how to act with a woman. Oh, look, they're having a good time. Oh, that could be me having a good time. You are much more approachable when you're hanging out, having fun with your lady friend. And when she sets you up with one of her girlfriends, you already come with a seal of approval. So that means much less work for you. You know, you kind of have an in.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Two things. First, a question that comes to me all the time is, and again, I don't want to spill the beans for the whole book, but where's two good places to meet other people that are worth, you know, for men to meet women that they wouldn't have thought of otherwise?
You know, I was just talking about this morning. I still say yoga class is probably the number one place to meet women. I wrote the book a few years ago, and not as many men were showing up to yoga as they are now. But the thing is, you know, women who do yoga all wish, I say all, well, let's use this as a generalization, but they would love to go to yoga class with their boyfriend. It's wonderful to have, you know, a boyfriend who wants to be fit and is getting all the health benefits of yoga. Now, what I tell guys is if you have a little bit of trouble seeing really cute women bending over in little skin-tight outfits, do your yoga in the front of the room so you don't get distracted by the booty. We don't want you falling off your yoga mat.
Know your limitations, go ahead.
And so I always think it's good to meet women when you're doing an activity. You should be, it's nice to
do. I love this, yes.
Right. It's nice to do something where you're interacting, where there's no pressure, where there's no expectation, especially when you're in a situation where you're going to see somebody more than once. You can take your time to get to know them, figure out if it's really going to be a match, and create a level of comfort. Because one thing I really don't like about online dating is you're meeting somebody, you have no friends in common.
Right.
You're not part of groups or clubs. You're meeting a complete and total stranger, and you really don't know anything about them. You know, that online profile could be completely made up. And so I find that a little uncomfortable. I know it works for a whole lot of people, and I'm so happy for them. But think of an activity that you would like to do. Right. When I lived in San Francisco, guys would show up to knitting.
That was my favorite. That's my favorite. I think guys, when they think, oh, I need to go meet women, then they think of dating places, which would be mostly clubs. And that's where people think of it, which is on, if you go to a sewing class, one, you're going to learn to sew. There's that. And knitting is a massively wonderful meditative practice, but you're going to be in a room probably full of mostly women.
Yeah, like I say, you're going to be the only rooster in the hen house. And let me tell you, you're going to learn some things that might just make your head spin. Yeah. I'll tell you what, and I don't care if every woman in that class friend zones you, they're going to have an eye out for their cute little single girlfriend. And me personally, when I see a dude knitting, whoo, I just think that is so sexy.
I have to agree. Like, if I know a guy that knits or sews, especially when they're like, oh, I'm just finishing this sweater, like they actually know what they're doing, because I can knit and I love knitting. And when I'm done, it looks like a pile of knots. And I still continue to do it from time to time, but it's just not my gift. But when a guy's like, oh, or sews, he's like, hey, I just made this shirt. I'm like, oh yeah. And you're willing to marry me? Is that how this goes? Because that is super, super attractive. Okay. I'm going to bombard you here. Okay. I have evil plans.
I'm ready.
We're going to have a contest.
Oh, a contest.
So, you know, full disclosure. I prepared my list. We're going to see who can come up with the longest list of places. Okay.
I have a list of where not to meet women. You know,
it's funny. I was just wondering to myself, a wedding. I was like, is that a bad place to...
That's a good question. What do you think?
I don't know if I would necessarily put that on the list. You know, I guess when you go to a wedding, people pretty much show up with dates unless you get stuck at the singles table. But, you know, I don't think it's kind of up there with a bar or an AA meeting. Don't meet women in AA. They call that the 11th step.
All right, I got one.
Or no, the 13th. I'm sorry. They already the 11th step is part of the 12 steps, and the 13th step is that don't
date in LA. LA. AA.
Which I have to tell you, I did have somebody tell me, yes, I met my husband in an AA meeting, and we've been together 25 years. And I was like, well, God bless you. I hope you're working that program.
Always an exception.
And exactly, always an exception. But I don't think it's a good idea as a rule.
Mine is very similar to that. Anger management class. Bad place to pick up potential partners.
Mm-hmm.
Your turn.
Court. Police station.
ex-gay therapy group.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of bars. I've met boyfriends in bars, but you know what? Nah, not
I've
ideal.
I've heard meet them in a bar, lose them in a bar. Pop-up seasonal Halloween stores.
Why do you say that?
Oh, I think anybody that's going to be lingering one of those places is probably too invested in that particular moment. Then I don't have a good reason.
That's your instinct.
I thought it would be funny. That's why. I thought it would be a little bit funny. All right, scratch that one. Then I'll say Macy's makeup counter.
Huh.
He's just gay.
Okay.
Yeah, if he's doing makeup behind the counter.
Oh, behind the counter. Well, yeah. That's true. Although
I have yet to meet a straight Macy's makeup. I hate to generalize against my people, but...
No, I have to tell you, like, when I go in to pick makeup, I always ask the gay man. I don't even want to talk to the woman. I don't know what it is about the gay fashion gift, but it's a thing. Therapy, any type of therapy, any type of bar, any type of place where you go to work out a problem, doctor's office, you know.
Yeah, I was thinking the certain lines at the sexual health clinic, Catholic seminary. I said at Thomas Kincaid store, that's a quality of human that needs to up their art game. Nope. Bad place, despite what you might think, bad place to meet someone would be on a bus that's speeding that can't go below 50 or it'll explode. That'll work out for one couple and one couple only, but probably not for anybody else again. Any kind of racist rally, I'd say no. And last but not least, my favorite, a family reunion.
Lori Stein is not responsible for any of the above shenanigans. It is the sole responsibility of those here at The Heartburn. That would mean being Doug Harrison. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Doug Harrison. Thanks for giving me just 1 second to explain why we talk about subscribing and sharing and reviewing so much. It's really, really simple. It is as simple as just clicking a button over at Apple Podcasts or clicking on 5 stars or clicking to share on Facebook or Twitter or wherever. We have a very slim period of time in which that kind of activity is what puts us in circulation for other people to find us. And if there isn't traffic that comes to us, it's not going to be possible for us to continue to do this. So please click some stars, click subscribe, and share on social media wherever you can. Thank you so much. This is Doug. I love you guys and I love what we do. Let's keep it going. Really just trying to help people in general. I'm wondering, to be more present in life in general, or is it something else? Is it that I'm...
I would
would say more present in life in general. It's so easy to just get so involved and wrapped up in what's going on in our head and what do I want and what do I think. And, you know, when you start noticing how interesting other people are, when you start noticing their habits and what they do, it's pretty interesting. People are, you know, you went from, you know, being a, I don't even know about if I would say being a spectator, like you weren't even paying attention. But, you know, once you start looking and interacting and getting involved, you're on safari, you're off the couch and you're on safari and you're participating, you're part of the swim. And that's fun. That's why we came to be humans on this planet, so we could mingle and interact and have experiences. And, you know, it's stimulating. It keeps the boredom away and you learn things and you become a better person and you become more wise, and then you can solve problems better. Things don't have the ability to flummox you like they may have before.
You seem to have a certain generosity. In fact, I think at some place you've said, I want to use my gifts so that other people can do their thing, or something to this effect. Am I right?
Yeah.
So where does that come from? I mean, there's a lot of ways that you have all these gifts, that you speak quite eloquently about these issues and about being present in the moment, but there's something about you that seems to me to really reach out to others to bring them into it and to do good for others. Is that just sort of habitual for you? Does it come from a place of conviction? How intentional is that?
You know, I kind of think that's kind of the way I am. I think I have the teaching gene, and I love to see people out there doing their thing. You know, I have been a yoga teacher. I've been a substitute teacher. You know, I'm always the one in the office who helps the older employees understand computers and technology. But I firmly believe that everybody is good at something. And if people, it is my wish that everybody gets to do what they're good at, whether they do it for a living, whether they do it as a hobby. I just want them to be able to do it. I wish I could open up a company like some, like a cosmic guidance counselor or something like that. Because, you know, when people would come to me when I was volunteering as a volunteer coordinator for the Burning Man organization, I could talk to them for 5 minutes and I'd know exactly what department they'd fit in with. And I wish, you know, people could come to me and I, you know, I could be like, I see what you're good at. I am, you know, and I feel like most people have at least an inkling about what they're good at. And when you do that, your life becomes happier. It becomes more satisfying. It becomes more rewarding. And I feel like those are really going to be the seeds of change that we need moving forward.
You know, they say in kids, one of the things that could be life-changing is just appreciation, a simple word of appreciation from the right teacher, from the right parent at the right moment, that suddenly you go, oh, I am good at this, and that you continue to do it, and that it builds some sense of momentum. But there's a truth to that for adults, too, that if you can just have an appreciation for what's going on there, that it gives people a space to step into that. And that's one of the convictions of this show, is to everybody is a gift, and everybody should find a place to be given.
Yeah, and it really does mean a lot for people to be acknowledged and validated. And, you know, one of the things I did as a volunteer coordinator was volunteer appreciation. And the more you appreciate people, you know, the more fire it gives them.
Absolutely,
and I'm really hoping my book, you know, sometimes that external appreciation and validation isn't available for you. And I'm really hoping that my book can spark the seeds of having that inside of you so you can carry it where you go and be empowered from within. And hopefully, you know, that will permeate around you and, you know, eventually others will appreciate you and validate you and see you more. Right. And, you know, as they see you using your gifts, it'll inspire them. When I was 36, I learned to play the fiddle. I did not have a musical background. I woke up one day, I said to myself, I'm going to play the fiddle. And sure enough, I did. Turned out I was good at it. I was shocked. And so many people said, oh my God, you learned to play the fiddle at 36?
Yeah.
I thought you had to learn when you were 5 years old. So many people I met that I had never known before said to me, I'm going to learn the fiddle too now, now that I know you can do that.
I have just a couple more questions. I thank you so much for being here and for taking your time. You've mentioned the Burning Man community and it was great for them to recognize your gifts and to do exactly what you're talking about. How much of that has being part of that community has shaped you, informed you, and what have you learned from being part of it?
Well, that is an excellent question. I guess one of the things I've learned is, you know, I could do things I never had any idea I could do, you know, like throw events and create community-based programs, you know. Somebody noticed I would be good at that, and I was like, no way, I've never done that before. How am I going to do that? And hey, surprise, surprise. And, you know, I also didn't realize that things that I was doing without being consciously aware were of value, like I used to say, you know, when I show up, people want to behave. You know, people just don't want to ruin the party when I'm around. And my friend was like, I'm going to trick you into coming to ranger training. I'm going to tell you they're having a party, and guess what? It's really ranger training. And yeah, I learned so much. Yeah, you know what? I'm totally trained by the org. I am a cat herder. I have been a volunteer coordinator with them for at least 10 years.
So since you mentioned it, that's a great segue. It was a question I was going to ask later, but let's segue right into it. So you said you're trained by the org, which by which you mean the Burning Man org.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. We can say, like, if you have a question, whatever, just ask, because I edit it up quite a bit. I'll probably move this question towards the end.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you say that you're trained by the org. That's a big part of your, like, whole ethos. So what does that mean to you, that you're trained by the org, and how does it impact you?
You know what? The one thing I like about the training I got from the Burning Man organization is they have people there who are really good at seeing what people are good at and bringing it out of you. And sometimes you don't even know what you're good at. When I showed up, you know, I was like, I went to their, you know, thing where they do all the volunteer groups, and you're like, okay, I'm going to go join this one. And I was like, hey, I'm going to join the group that throws the parties. Wee, that's fun. Well, my team lead was so amazing. And I remember the day she came to me and she was like, hey, so you're going to take the lead on our next event. And I was like, whoa, I can't do that. You know, I've never done it before. And she's like, yes, you can. And if you need any help, I'll be there. And she got me to do it. She cat herded me. And
which now you say you're a cat herder.
Right. And after that, I learned how to do it. They just kind of, it's not written up. It's not like people talk about. There's not like, this is how we do it. It's just like how you learn and how they bring things out of you and how people realize your potential and set you up for success and point you in the right direction. And after being in that environment, and what they do is people will also say like, oh, here's one of us. And they'll kind of pull you in.
How do you think they create the culture where they recognize those things? Because that's actually something like what you're talking about. Beyond this episode, mm-hmm. like recognizing people's gifts is, it's like what I focus on helping other people do. It's a huge thing for me. And in fact, communicating appreciation. And then some of the other work I do is with creating community with people with mental disabilities.
Mm.
And so, you know, recognizing gifts, teaching people to engage them, how to need each other.
Mm-hmm.
This is all super important to me. And you know what? What's really strange, when I found the Burn community, that there was resonance between that work, which mm-hmm. we call L'Arche. I mean, it's French for the arc. There's real resonance between L'Arche work and being a burner. How do they do that? How do they get people to notice those gifts and to call them out?
They basically have their eye out for a certain type of personality, a very outgoing, highly capable, incredibly helpful personality, and that personality chooses other people like it, you know. They
do you think they tell each other in their training to, or they just attract people who typically already do that?
You know, like I said, there is nothing that's written up or official. This is how they do it.
Right.
Definitely not when I was there. I know they've gotten a little bit more corporate and organized these days, but yeah, I realized that a lot of things that I was doing naturally were things that were valuable to others. And I had no idea that, you know, I was doing things that were naturally bringing about conflict resolution or de-escalation. And, you know, I was
brought into trainings and that I didn't necessarily choose to go into. And I was like, oh my God, wow, this is a thing. Oh my God, wow, this is valuable. I guess it just really made me live up to more of my potential than I was really doing.
So it recognized a gift and it drew you into that role. And as part of that role, then gave you more resources and more training and more support to be able to do that.
Right. And like I said before, when you are doing what you're good at, it changes your life. It's a game changer. It changes the wiring of your brain. It changes how you feel when you get up in the morning. It changes all your relationships. And, you know, I would like to see everybody on this planet have more of that.
Absolutely. And that's where some of the convictions that we talk about at L'Arche, the opposite of that is that every human being, even if they appear to you to not be gifted, if they don't have obvious gifts, how painful it is to not have a place to give your gift, whatever it is, which can be remarkably big or small in one person's relative thinking about it. But everybody has a gift and we should all be invested in helping each other find it. I can't thank you enough. One of the things that we do here at the podcast is that we make sure we always include a moment of appreciation. And I want to thank you. And specifically, there's an obviousness to the fact that you do see things with a kind of clarity, and I said the word common sense, a condensed common sense, a condendomnomnesensensis, this, that is really delightful, and that you speak of it in a way that gives it a simplicity and seems to make it more possible for people, which I think your book does, but I think you do in general, and I appreciate that, and I'm leaving this conversation having enjoyed myself immensely, and also more empowered to do the very same thing that I think that you talk about, which is I want to be the person who turns around and have that teacher gene. I want to help other people, even through this podcast, be able to find their passion, find their gift, and make use of it. And I hope that in some way our further friendship or just mystically that you'll have people that really support and celebrate your gifts, or at least a few readers will buy your book and that money will feed you in using your gift again in the future.
Thank you so much. And one thing I wanted to say that I think is hugely important, and it kind of touches on what you were saying as well, when you don't use your gift, it will rot inside of you garbage. It will fester. And so that is another reason I think it's important to bring it out.
Any other final words, final thoughts for people before we say goodbye?
No, I think we pretty much covered
it. I think we've covered it. Again, thanks so much. And again, please check our notes, because we'll have that idowhatiwant.org, and you'll be able to purchase the book there in its multiple formats. And soon it'll be on the corner stand of every bookstore everywhere. Do they still have bookstores? I don't know. I've not seen one.
Yes, they do. I love them.
It's right next door to the Blockbuster. So, thank you.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Don't you wish you had a good quality woman like Lori Stein to build a relationship with? Well, you can. If you just go to www.idowhatiwant.org, you can order her book and learn a thing or two. She also has some relationship advice and some other little tidbits there as well. You also can go to theheartburn.net and find out more about this podcast.
And become a regular supporter.
This is Doug Harrison. You've been listening to The Heartburn. You know what I'm going to ask of you. We can't exist if you don't subscribe, if you don't review. Then everybody will just turn a cold shoulder, looking at us with faraway glances, wishing about the podcast that could have been. These are ordinary people, but exceptional human beings. This is Doug Harrison, and this has been The Heartburn.